Oh, you know what? Do you remember?
Your mom and dad.
Just one.
No kidding.
And then this says four.
Are you ready, Patricia? Patricia, who ready?
No, I'm sorry.
Ready?
I put down the wrong thing on my form.
Well, I still have that. No worries at all.
Okay, ready?
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Plan Commission. My name is Patricia Najera. I'd like to introduce the other commissioners. To my right, Whitney Gould, J. Allen Stokes. To my left, Stephanie Bloomingdale, Larry Sue Jackert, and Joaquin Altoro. Vanessa, item number one.
Our first public hearing is file number 121793. It's an ordinance relating to the zoning classification of principal use parking lots in the LB1 local business zoning district. And there are about 1,050 properties that are zoned local business, LB1, and they're namely in the northwest side and south sides of the city. And as we've been going through implementation of the comprehensive area plans, we've been addressing parking as a land use policy issue. And most recently, Plan Commission considered the creation of a new local business district in our urban core, which address parking issues. And now we're looking towards the outlying areas of the city, and there's an inconsistency with our local business districts in that either parking as a principal use is, it's not permitted as of right. Either it's a special use or there's limited use standards. And so this is what's being proposed before you today in our local business LB1 districts. We'll be looking at a change to not have it be permitted, but a limited use. And Greg Patton is here to talk about the specifics of the limited use standard, as well as the report from the Zoning Code Technical Committee.
Hi, Greg Patton with Planning. And I'm involved in this as I've been involved with other recent zoning changes. Thank you very much for the update. A number of times we find that, you know, we've done a series, you know, obviously our series of area plans throughout the city, and it's looking in to see if our zoning, if our text is actually in sync with our area plans, as it should be. One of the areas we've looked at is parking. We've really looked at parking in the LB3 district as we were creating that, in LB2 districts, as well as the IM districts. So we've been kind of looking at the code across the board to look at consistency to see how everything shakes out across the kind of the overall use. Keep in mind, what we're here to talk about is a principal use of parking lots. That's to make sure we differentiate for anybody who has a question, as opposed to the accessory use. That's when it's parking on a site where there already is a permitted use, and it's the accessory parking. Principal use, where this comes up sometimes is what you'll have is you'll have a commercial parking lot, and that's a principal use of land. What you'll also often have is a parking lot. There'll be a business on one side of the street, and they're required parking. They may not have the space, and they'll have a parking lot across the street. Well, when the parking, even though it's accessory to the business, is across the street, it's still a principal use of land. So what we're trying to do with this change here is to ensure that, like our plans recommend, that we don't have an excess of parking in many of our districts throughout the city, is to reduce the amount of parking. But at the same time, being sensitive and recognizing the economic need a lot of times for parking for a business. In other words, we don't want to make sure that parking lots become like the default use of empty land. We want to make sure that that parking is truly needed and it's associated with a business that's nearby down the block across the street. So we feel it's a move in the proper direction to align the zoning more with our area plans and our planning goals, but at the same time not do it in such a way that it would create a series of unnecessary situations where they're restricted from sometimes having the more efficient option of being next door or across the street. So that is what we're proposing to show here. I think we have a slide that shows where our LB1 districts are. I think that's the next slide.
I'm trying to help you.
Oh, and then I was doing it too. So as you'll see, you know, in our, you know, neighborhoods like on the east side, like East North Avenue is an LB3 neighborhood. A vast majority of our center business districts are LB2. These LB1 districts are the districts that occur at the perimeter of our city. And So this, basically what we're trying to do is by looking at this as well as the table here, you know, is really looking at across the board, the consistency, whether it be the accessory or the principal use. And this was one area where parking lots were just simply a permitted use. And we felt it's appropriate to have them be permitted if they're associated with a business. And however, at the same time, we want to make sure that we're not having a proliferation of parking lots in these areas, as, you know, as our input from neighbors have suggested. You go back.
And then if the limited use standard isn't met, it becomes a special use before the Board of
Correct.
Zoning Appeals. So it
Correct.
Doesn't become prohibited, but there's you have to go before BOZA in order to get permission to use it as a principal
parking
lot.
So we can look at it on a case-by-case basis for the land use if it's appropriate in those cases. With this brought was as in the normal course, this was brought to the Zoning Code Technical Committee. City attorney had some recommendations for change to the exact words that we were using. A little concern that when we start enumerating owners, customers, tenants, he thought that was getting to be where we were starting to enumerate in too detailed of a fashion, which could have both effects of we forgot some group, and likewise we're being somewhat overly restrictive on which groups or whatever. So we've crafted some language to make it which would be something that would be that he was comfortable with, basically giving us a conditional sign off on that. And right now we're working with LRB to finalize the final language of this to make sure that it's what he believes is a good ordinance.
Greg, could I ask you a question? Is there anything in the ordinance or in the redraft of this that encourages shared parking?
Well, not so much in this. We do currently have shared parking in our ordinance, which is a good thing. It's like one of the best things. And you know, what this also does is allows, you know, sometimes a person's parking may be off-site. And in some ways, what this does is it doesn't penalize someone from being across the street where it could be a shared parking situation. Right now, there's a number of businesses, you have a minimum number of parking spaces. And if they can't accommodate that on their site, what then they often do are forced to, like, say, buy another property, build more parking. What this does, by having a limited use standard, it allows their accessory parking to occur across the street or down the block in a spot where there may already be parking. So while this isn't, I can't say we already have that, but this helps to reinforce that. So that's what we were trying to look to make sure that this was reinforcing a number of policies that way. You know, there still is requirements in our commercial uses, our retail type uses. We do have parking minimums and parking maximums. This also, we in our redrafting, we're making sure that this doesn't have any, this doesn't allow someone to get, or you want to say, to dodge around some of our other restrictions. So that's kind of with our fine tuning and tweaking about for the way we say precisely, you know, the parking is for a permitted use falling within its allowed and maximum. So that way we're very careful as to making sure that it doesn't conflict with any of our other ordinances.
Any other questions?
Yeah, what kind of considerations were given to this that so that it wouldn't stifle economic development in neighborhoods? Because I understand the whole dodging, but I think there's always a concern of
right.
neighborhoods right now that might not even be LB1s, but I know there's a concentration of LB1s, that, you know, there's not a stifling of that economic development in certain areas.
And we were concerned with the exact question because, I mean, it came up, you know, it's come up, you know, a bit, and the question of making, say, parking lots as an off-site parking lot across the street a special use. And we said, you know, one of the goals is in our zoning code, we do have a good tool, and I don't know if we use it as much as we could, but the limited use standard. And what the limited use standard was, it's meant to say, you know, when you're having a parking lot because it's an economic development thing, because this business needs the parking, and they have a need for that, you know, they'll go out and acquire the parking. It allows that to happen with, because once you're, if you're an L, if you're a limited use, you meet the standard, which we've tried to make it a generous standard, you become permitted. So the idea was not to stifle economic development. That was an important thing, and that kind of is why we're not suggesting it's a special use, a straight up special use.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there?
I move closure of the public hearing and move approval.
Second. There's been a motion and a second. Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number two is file number 121382. It's an ordinance relating to zoning regulations for the raising of crops or livestock, and the Department of Neighborhood Services still has some concerns regarding the legislation, and we're working through that with them. And so we're going to ask that this be referred to staff, but we should make sure that there was no one here to speak on this item, since we didn't have enough time to actually cancel the public hearing.
Okay. Is there anyone here for item number two? I don't have any slips.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So we're going to refer this to staff. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. One opposed?
No.
Oh.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Item number three.
Our third public hearing is file number 121762. It's a substitute ordinance relating to the change in zoning from industrial heavy to detail plan development for mixed-use building on land located on the north side of West Capitol Drive, west of North 31st Street in the 1st Aldermatic District. I've asked Cam Burton, the development manager of the 30th Street Industrial Corridor, to join us today to give us an overview of the corridor, and then also a quick status update. Even though this project doesn't directly relate, I thought it would be a good opportunity for the commissioners to get an update.
Thank you, Vanessa. That's a great introduction. Again, my name is Kian Burton. I'm with the Redevelopment Authority. I believe the last time that CPC heard about the economic development plan governing the 30th Street Industrial Corridor was last year in March. A lot has taken place since then. I'm sure some of you have seen the transition in the 30th Street corridor. Again, our primary objective is to create an economic development hub in the 30th Street Industrial Corridor. It is key to the city's economic development retention and attraction strategies. On the business retention side, you have very large employers like Master Lock, Harley, Miller Coors, and mid-sized firms as well. When combined, these firms provide roughly 1,000 jobs in the corridor. So it's very important that we continue to support and promote an environment that will create economic development opportunities throughout the 30th Street Industrial Corridor. You'll recall from the previous presentation that we've broken up the corridor into strategic subzones. What you see is the boundary that extends all the way from Wisconsin, which then includes Harley and Miller down at the southern end, extending all the way up through Villard Avenue, which then includes notable projects like the Villard Avenue Library, the Bishop's Creek Development Project, which is now undergoing its third catalytic effort there. And then moving to the purple area, which is the highlight of the 30th Street Industrial Corridor initiative from a city investment perspective. And that's a location for the previously A.O. Smith Tower Automotive site, which has long since now been renamed Century City. From the role of the CPC, these are some of the project areas that you will be considering and being asked to weigh in on your expertise. Some of that you've done in the past. In the future, as we continue to promote economic development in the corridor, you will see more requests for zoning changes, as well as enforcing some of the existing regulations governing landscaping and other kinds of buffering requirements. There are three primary catalytic projects in the corridor. Bless you. It's that time of year, I think. Is it mold or pollen or something's going around? Obviously, Century City Business Park being the Area A, the large area, and we are looking at roughly a 60-acre business park with full-scale modern amenities. The Century City 2 area, which is north of Capitol Drive, which is Area B. You'll be hearing more about Century City 2 in the upcoming months. And then the Esser Paint area, which is a residential project Again, going back to our economic development plan and looking at reuse and rezoning, Esser Paint is an area that is now fairly isolated, no longer conducive to a company. There's a lack of parking. So these are the areas in the corridor where we're really encouraging different types of uses. And in this particular project area, we're looking at both single family and rental affordable housing. Century City Business Park. If those of you who haven't had a chance to go out and drive by Century City, you'd hardly recognize it. Over the past 3 years, we've torn down roughly 2 million square feet of buildings, removed roughly 20 underground storage tanks, have now graded the site, installed a stormwater detention pond, which will be fully integrated into the business park. And now we're about to embark on phase two, which consists of the greenway that you see here. Last month we applied for Economic Development Administration funds to provide 50% in matching funds for us to implement this greenway. This greenway will both serve as a buffer between the industrial and residential uses, which is obviously called for in the plan, as well as to create a real landmark destination for the business park itself. Starting this year, we've begun marketing the site. We've responded to a number of RFPs. We will continue to do that. So we've completed the pre-development stage of this particular project, and we're moving towards land sales. Century City 2, which is the area north of Capitol Drive, and just for by way of background, that includes the area of the previously rezoned Century City Towers, which is the former Eaton building. And we're looking at creating a redevelopment boundary that can include other industrial properties that are adjacent to the Century City Towers property, with the idea being in that these would be complementary business parks. You have Century City, which retains its IH zoning, and then you have a complementary park that will be developed to the north in the future. That will be rezoned potentially to IL. And then that would create the kinds of opportunities for light manufacturing, business offices that's connected to some of the industry clusters that exist there. The Wisconsin Energy Research Consortium, or WERC, is currently located in Century City 2 Towers. They have very exciting plans to build a regional cluster that includes acceleration of certain types of R&D products and services based on energy production, alternative energy production. They are located there. They're looking to build an accelerator. This would be the location for any kind of spin-off businesses that would come as a result of their R&D acceleration work. So on the schedule, we're looking at putting together a planning redevelopment boundary. Whether or not that becomes an overlay district or an actual redevelopment plan, we are looking into that, and we'll make a final determination by this fall. We're looking at potential rezoning to IL of a broader area and potentially, again, a redevelopment plan. And the timing of that would be likely late 2013 into 2014. Esser Paint, we've moved forward. The demolition was completed well over a year ago. We are continuing to do environmental cleanup there. We'll have an RFI that will be proposed for fall 2013. Due to the complexities of the site, we think it's very important that instead of just going for a full-blown RFP, that we get some broad-based input from the developer community to determine what other types of testing we may need to do from a geological perspective. The rezoning will coincide with LIHTC application. The main Esser site at 31st and Galena will likely be a LIHTC project. Habitat for Humanity is looking at the lots to the north. That was an extremely condensed version of some key highlights within the economic development plan. What I just wanted to show you today is how we really have moved along. If you read the implementation section towards the back of the plan, you'll see that the Redevelopment Authority, along with other agencies, has made significant progress in the corridor, in part thanks to your thoughtful approach to looking at some of the development projects and requests that have come before this committee. You can read the full plan. This is the document itself, so you can see that it truly was a condensed version today. And I invite any questions that you have.
Could you just apprise us, what is the current state of the former A.O. Smith Research Building, that wonderful
Sure.
Streamline Modern building?
Yes. Ms. Gould is referring to the office tower building, better known as Building 65 in our jargon. Building 65 has been part of just a holding pattern. The building has been open for a number of years prior to Rackham's ownership. The first thing that we did was to shore up the building and make sure that there wasn't any more water penetration. We've been pumping roughly 3 feet of water out of the building anytime that there's a heavy rain, and I'm sure you've noticed that there's a significant amount of netting around the building. Most recently, we've had windows that have blown out of the building, and we make sure that we get someone right on it to board those up and reshore the netting to make sure that there's no further deterioration of the building.
There was quite a lot of vandalism there, I know, for a while. Are your confidence pretty secure now against that?
There's no further vandalism. Unfortunately, under the previous ownership, a lot of the more decorative details in the lobby, right. Most notably the elevator, for example, some of the lighting, they were actually sold off as part of an auction. So a lot of the details are now missing, but the building remains important from a corporation perspective.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is there is part of this overall plan, which is really commendable, is there an effort to market this building to attract somebody who would invest money in fixing it up, or is it just a question of trying to just stabilize it? I just wonder what the future is for it.
Well, it's not adaptive to any other use except for office use. So we've had a number of conversations both with government agencies as well as businesses that, you know, may be looking for a particular office building. So anytime we have an RFP that comes out and someone is looking for office space, we always respond with Building 65. Thus far, the costs have been very, very prohibitive, but it is very much part of our ongoing sales dialogue that we have both internally with other departments as well as externally with the M7 and other kinds of real estate location firms.
And just one last question. Is there, in case somebody is interested in doing something with that building, is there any city money available to help restore it?
We do have some money set aside for Building 65 for asbestos abatement. So there are some environmental funds. We have our usual array of products. I'm sure all of you heard that MEDC was recently allocated a New Markets Tax Credit Award. So we would bring those types of incentives to bear if we had a prospect.
What's been the state, or we'd announced that they had a plan for the 30th Street Corridor. How is that? Have you had any conversations with them? Is there any kind of relationship to what's going on?
We've had a number of conversations with WIDA, and the project before you today is a direct outcome of that.
Okay, but what else? Can you tell me a little bit about the conversations you've had with them and what they're doing?
Sure.
They announced that the $100 million for the 30th Street Corridor. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Are you talking about the Transform Milwaukee mm-hmm. project?
Yes.
Yeah, the announcement was made. I think our question is, what kind of new program are we going to see as a result of this commitment of dollars? There have been a number of tours and other kinds of meetings concerning potential for stormwater management. $250,000 was allocated out of the Transform Milwaukee funds for MMSD to put together a stormwater solution, and that's to solve the flooding that took place back in 2010 at the north end of the corridor. So, you know, we have seen some results there, and we're hoping to continue to see commitments coming out of WEDC, particularly on the business side, as we're looking to attract businesses.
Didn't they make this announcement, what is it, 2 years ago?
Yes,
and that's
roughly.
All the activity you've seen so far?
That's what I've seen. But it's my understanding that WIDA has had a number of conversations privately with businesses and other entities as well. So there may be other commitments out there that I may not be aware of. But they've been, you know, very responsive when we contact them. WEDC, we've been working on the certified sites process as well. And, you know, we continue to enjoy a good working relationship with the state. Again, you know, WEDA is a housing entity. They do some economic development, and where there are opportunities, you know, we will come forward and sit with them around the table to put together a package that can respond to other types of development opportunities that may emerge. That hasn't happened as of yet, but when it does, I would imagine that they would be a key partner.
But I thought their proposal, if I remember correctly, had some housing as well as economic development.
Correct.
Was associated with that. You're telling me that you haven't got that much?
Well, the project before you today is part of that housing commitment, so you'll hear about that very shortly.
Can you tell us more about what's been happening with the WEDC?
Sure. There have been a number of conversations on a number of different topics with WEDC. Probably the biggest one is they announced the second round of the Certified Sites program. That application deadline was last month, and we did apply for Century City. So we're hoping to become one of those certified sites, and then the project would enjoy more widespread attention. We figure any time that we can focus on the project and be a part of site location activities on a regional and global level, that's a good opportunity for us. We've also been talking to WEDC concerning additional environmental funds. Century City continues to need environmental attention. We're moving towards hotspot removal, so any additional funds that we can secure would certainly help us to take that project one step farther from an environmental perspective. Similar with some of the other catalytic project areas, almost anywhere that you are in the corridor requires some degree of environmental attention and cleanup. So we've been very successful. The Brownfield Department has been very successful working with WEDC to bring attention to both our needs and also to secure specific funds.
So when you say you've been, I mean, that it's been very successful working with the WEDC on these two areas, how much money has been secured for these two areas so far? Approximately.
Dave Miskin, it's been roughly, we received roughly $500,000 thus far in the last year.
Yeah.
In the last year. Prior to that, it's... Yeah, but prior to that, it's been, you know, in the corridor wide, it's been upwards of $1.5 million plus. I mean, ESSER alone got $1 million 3 years back, so it's very sizable.
I'm talking about in the last, you know, and so say last year and this year.
Roughly about $1 million.
And you're looking for additional funds.
Yeah, we'll take as much as we can get.
You speak of environmental remediation on the scale of not even starting to being close to being finished. I'm just curious from when you guys began the remediation and continuing to collect monies for continual remediation, where are we on the scale of having a place that's fairly clean on the environmental schedule?
Yeah,
I'm just curious because I understand it seems like it's a pretty big undertaking, and it seems like you've done work already.
It is a big undertaking, and not only have we done work here at Century City, we really are borrowing a playbook from the Menominee Valley, and the Menominee Valley was never a clean site. Essentially, it was an issue of doing hotspot removal, which is exactly what we have done and are currently doing at Century City, and then the remainder of the remediation takes place as part of the development process. There are various methodologies that can be employed, like putting the parking lot over certain types of contamination, putting a building around it, capping, and if we were to try to achieve 100% clean, there isn't enough funding to do that. Mm-hmm. And it would be a waste of actual public funds, mm-hmm. because a lot of this can be accomplished through soil management practices.
But through, I guess, just preparing the site, is the department where they want it to be? In preparing it for the future plans that we have here?
Yes, we are ready to engage in land sales. So if you know any business out there who is looking for anywhere between 3 to 60 acres, we're ready to go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kian, for all that information and answering all our questions.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we will go down specifically to 31st and Capitol for the zoning change before Plan Commission today. And this is a uniquely shaped site, which makes difficult to develop. To the west is the existing railroad corridor. There's some vacant industrial land to the south, and then existing industrial, commercial, and family uses to the east. And what is being proposed is Century City Training Center B, LLC, is proposing a approved STEM high school MPS charter here, along with a training center and a housing component. And I'll invite Howard Snyder from the Northwest Side CDC and Jason Korb from Korb Trado Architects to talk about this specific proposal.
Good afternoon. I'm going to take point on this unless we need. We'll bring Howard up if we need him.
Oh, that's fine.
So, okay. Am I running this or are you? So I'm Jason Korb, Korb Trado Architects. I'm going to just walk you through the site very quickly. It's three parcels, two of which are vacant and owned by the city of Milwaukee. The one in front is a former restaurant. It's been vacant for a couple of years now. So the view on the lower left is the restaurant property. You can see the sign in the foreground. These are views from the site. So these are looking south across Capitol Drive, east and west, and then east across 31st Street. Our proposal is a five-story building on the corner of 31st and Capitol, with a sort of one story, we call it the annex piece, which is at the top of the building. The annex is one story, but it's 20 foot clear inside. That is the part of the school and training center component. We have a full basement of parking for the apartments, and then we have supplemental parking for the school and a little bit of overflow for the residents. We started by working with MMSD on a couple of grant requests because, as you heard, stormwater management is critical in this part of the city. We have applied for and received a grant to plant a green roof on the entire annex piece, so that funding is in place, or will be when we install the roof. And the other strategy is basically on-site retention and phytoremediation, which is a fancy way of saying we're going to clean the water before it enters the sewer system, both for the buildings and for the surface parking. So we can dive into strategies in greater detail if you'd like later. Very quickly through the floor plan. So there, as I had mentioned, there is a full basement of parking secured for the residents. The ground floor is currently sort of a white box, and it is sort of designed to be the appropriate size for the Novatech High School, which is a charter school with MPS. It will have approximately 100 students. And then the front of the annex piece here will be designated as training center. To the right is the common area and entry component for the apartment building. And then here is in this drawing you can see the extent of the green roof we're proposing, and then here is basically a typical floor of apartments. So we have 43 residences, a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms. And then again, this is the just typical upper floor. So very simple building. Again, the building is 5 stories, pushed up onto the site for a number of reasons, partly because we want to excavate as little as possible. Again, due to some of the soil conditions that we described. Two, just to give it height and presence on Capitol Drive. So the top drawing is the 31st Street elevation. You can see this first floor is glazed wherever we can do so. And then on the bottom, you can see that the tall annex piece on the north elevation similar facade, glassy, facing Capitol Drive. This drawing is broken in half. It's actually one elevation, but they're at different angles, so. And then we have a monument sign on the corner. Part of the MMSD grant requires us to advertise their participation in the project. These are the west elevations. These face the rail line. So the top elevation faces directly onto the rail line, and the bottom elevation is the west elevation of the building. So here's a view of the building from the corner of 31st and Capitol. The parcel is oddly shaped, and so we've turned the building to follow, the apartment building follows 31st Street. Materials on the street elevations are primarily masonry and metal panel, again with extensive glazing on the ground floor. And on the west side, you can see the training center is facing onto Capitol Drive, and you can see the entry condition off of Capitol Drive in our sort of knuckle that connects the two, allowing the school and training center to have entry from Capitol Drive as well as from the parking lot. We felt that was important, A, to have an entrance off of Capitol Drive, and it's also important because the students in the high school, about a third of them are anticipated to arrive by public transportation. So about a third of them are expected to walk, and about a third of them are expected to drive. So it's important that the students have options in how they get in and out of the building. The other slightly unusual feature you see are the two very large downspouts on the side of the building. That's actually part of the phytoremediation strategy. They basically feed the entire high roof of the building into a series of swales that are across the front of the training center. So the water comes off the roof dirty. It all is collected at one point, is cleaned on site before it enters the sewer system. So we thought we'd celebrate that a little bit. It's a little unusual. This is a view looking south on 31st Street. So you can see in the foreground the apartment entrance, which was important to sort of keep low-key, especially since we've got 100 kids coming in and out of the building every day, in addition to adult guests of the training center, with the back of the training center and school in the background. And that is our proposal. Thank you.
Excuse me. Can you take, yes, me, take me back to the beginning of the school? Let me see the school and how you got the school laid out in proportion. So what do you actually have in the school?
Well, what we have, which has been sort of further developed recently in our conversations with the school operator, is the first floor of the apartment building is a fairly typical double-loaded classroom situation. So it contains about six classrooms with an administrative suite that backs up to the apartment common area. The skinny piece in the middle is that connector I mentioned that allows access and egress for the school and the training center from both directions. And then the box, if you will, on the top is the 20-foot clear working area. So it's less traditional academic space. You can do full-scale mock-ups. And the front half is imagined as the training center, and the back half is primarily school function. And there's some conversations still ongoing about how those will be sort of mixed with each other.
Okay, so, let me just see if I can get this, yep, in my head. Okay, you got classrooms,
mm-hmm,
and then you got, there's no, where's the lunchroom and where's the?
Well, the lunchroom is one of the things.
This is basic, I don't know.
No, it's.
I ain't got no kids in school, don't they?
Well, they, the lunchroom and kitchen is, we've been working with NOVA. They have a very specific methodology by which they don't prepare any food on site. The food is brought in by MPS. So we have one of the things that we've now have in the annex building, if you will, is a warming kitchen. And what we're working through right now is who has access to it and when, because we have two users on the ground floor.
Where's the kitchen? Where do the kids go to eat at?
There is a sort of commons area and lunchroom plan for this area right here. And then with a kitchen right here, so you can have ease of delivery in and out.
Okay.
And then because that kitchen is centrally located, the thought is training center could probably use it at night. The school uses it during the day. And we're working through how those two users sort of cross.
Okay, now where is recreation?
This is Where's recreation? Well, part of what we've been doing in some of these charter schools is you kind of use the common area in, as runaround space. Now, less important in a high school than in some of the K-8 schools, but we will have outdoor recreation space as well. We have it in the form of a plaza immediately behind the building with permeable pavers, and we also have a habitable green space behind the building. So the whole area behind that annex is usable by the students.
So they don't have no gym and
they do not. They do not have a gymnasium. Okay. The plan is, as I understand it, their Nova's current facility has a gymnasium and they have a bus. So if kids want to do athletics, they would be bused over to the current location where they have a very large gymnasium.
Okay. Then the next question. The training center, how does that, I mean, maybe this is a different kind of high school.
It's a very specific, this is a STEM high school, so it's very specific. Okay. The science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so that's why it was felt that this is a good location for it, given everything that's going on in Century City. It's also why it was thought to be a good idea to pair this with the training center.
Okay, what role does the training center play in the education of?
Well, the training center is an adult vocational training center.
Okay.
How these two users cross-pollinate is still being discovered right now. But yeah. Howard can probably speak to that a little
bit. I'm just asking.
To answer your first question, we're hoping for the bioswale to be an aquatic center.
Excuse me. We have Howard Snyder here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The original intent was to replicate Villard Square in some ways, where we have a public use downstairs and apartments upstairs. We did that and closed and opened the building, the Villard building, in 2011, and it's been well documented that that downstairs of public, where we had a condo arrangement with the city, worked really well. We're replicating that at what's called Ned's Pizza. Some of people who grew up here remember that space as being the old Burger King. Mm-hmm. Today there's a Ned's Pizza there. And what we're talking about is as seamless as we can to have kids at school, and I helped to build the first Nova with Dan Grego in 1994, and then they moved to the Golden Center. Where there is a gymnasium, and we're going to be, the same principal is going to be working at both schools, and so there'll be a lot of back and forth, because they have a big gymnasium up there. It's the old Police Athletic League building up on Burleigh. And what we're going to try to do is to move kids from the 12th grade into some parts of the training center and into work of businesses in the 30th Street corridor, but we're also going to have separate programming for adults that'll be just coming straight into the building for training for other businesses, and particularly if it works, to try to get the new businesses that are coming in through the through work, the WERC, and as we're building up new businesses in the power and controls business, to specifically train people for jobs in that industry.
So who's the training center? Who is doing the training?
We're looking at a subcontract. There's a request for proposal out by the Department of Workforce Development, which is due in the middle of the month. And there's no guarantee that it's going to be in our building.
What kind of training?
Training around light manufacturing and some advanced manufacturing. But we're working with the HR departments in work is 52 companies. In the greater Milwaukee area that are in the power control space. And we've been working with the HR managers in order to develop curriculum for entry-level workers into some of those companies and into their spinoffs.
I have a question. So I understand the reason for the school in that area, and I understand the training. I'm wondering about the marketability of apartments and being a tenant on top of a high school. Has there been any thought of that? I guess I understand the design has been that way also, but just wondering, has that been put into thought at all into the plan of the actual the building of this, or not into the building of it, but the actual plan of it itself?
Well, yes and no. It's in the early stages. The RFP for the For the housing component, it is in WEDA's second round, which is in July, and so we're in conversations. There has been a lot of talk, though, about trying to take at least 10 to 15 units for kids that are aging out of foster care. So now whether or not those kids can either go to school or go to the second piece into the training center and then into work is a programming issue, and we're not, we haven't gone down that road yet.
Okay.
Along the lines of what Joaquin was asking about, I'm just curious, in the design of it, is it acoustically dampered in a way that you won't have conflicts between?
Fortunately, I can't answer that question.
Between the residents and the high school, because I imagine there'd be a fair amount of noise.
The short answer is yes, because it's a different occupancy. The floor between the roof of the school and the first floor of apartments is concrete, and it's very robust, and it will be completely soundproof. The other reason that we have this, what I keep referring to as this annex piece, is that that is where any sort of potentially noisy things are going to happen, and it's almost a separate building, and that's intentional. So what we basically have is academic and administrative space below the apartments and pulled the noisy functions away as far as we could get them. So
I had a question for Howard. I think it would be for Howard. Could you say a little bit more as far as who you're trying to attract to this housing, for the housing piece, and will the students, let's say, who are part of the training or part of the high school, are you trying to attract their families? Is that the idea?
Well, that would be great if it worked. I think that we have no idea 2 years from now who's going to be living there. The RFP that's coming out from WEDA is family housing. So it'll be families, but we get to, because we're doing the property management, we're doing the recruitment, with Gorman, who is our partner at Villard, is going to be our partner here as well. We can try to be as narrow as we can and select people who we think are potential candidates either for the school or for the training center. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, that's just too far away to really to be thought through at the moment.
Do you think, are you concerned about having high school students and tenants living upstairs? I mean, is that... Well, security of that, does that...
Well, I've been through librarians that were concerned about people living upstairs at Villard, and we overcame that.
This is not a library. This is a high school.
I understand that, okay. But I still think that it was still the same. You know, people said, we're concerned, and the minute that people say they're concerned, and I have some practice in trying to figure out how to think through some of the problems that people upstairs might pose to people downstairs and vice versa.
Is there another precedent for a school in a...
Excuse me, you didn't answer me, though.
I've been trying to avoid it at Jay Allen.
Okay, well, at least you know you got to think about it. I'm cool. If you're happy, I'm happy.
I have a question following up on your question.
Okay, go ahead.
Are there other models out there with apartments and schools combined?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to the question.
Well, let me just, I like the concept, and if you know, you can make it to work. I mean, my main thing is that young folks get a chance to get some education, training, and a job.
Right.
You can put that together. You got my, I'm down with that.
But I think at the same time, it'd be unfortunate to have such a wonderful building built and not it being fully used also. So I think there should be some serious consideration, and again, to the marketability of the apartments that you have upstairs. I love the idea of what you said of those moving out or from...
Kids aging out of foster.
Yes, that, I mean, that's, if you continue to put in thought into that, I think that's something that's important. You know?
A couple, I can just speak to a couple of these questions as well. One, we don't have any precedent in this immediate area for a mixed use that has schools and apartments, which is sort of what's interesting about it. Mm-hmm. It is done on the East Coast where densities are greater, but nothing around here really comes to mind. That's one. Two, every market study that we've ever seen basically says that you can build as many affordable apartments around here, and they will be. I mean, how long did Villard take to lease up? The demand is huge for new apartments, you know, new good apartments that are affordable. And third, to the question about segregating, you know, the kids from the apartment users most of them that drive will enter through a secure basement that is completely inaccessible to anyone but themselves. Or B, they're on a, if they're entering through the lobby, will be on a locked door with the property manager overlooking the door. And they're pulled as far away from the school users as we could get them physically on that plan. And there's basically a big kind of blank wall between the two. So in so much as we could separate them on the ground where everyone comes together, we did. So hopefully that helps answer the question a little bit.
I'm just saying, you know kids are kids.
Mm-hmm.
You better be, you just better be prepared, David. Mm-hmm. I don't underestimate it.
I think it's really an intriguing idea. It's, I know there's a lot of question marks, but.
That's what makes it interesting.
Thank you.
I do have another question.
Mm-hmm.
So backing up, so we don't think that this, maybe this is a question for the city. It's a change in the zoning from industrial heavy to detailed plant. So we don't think that this is suitable for industrial heavy?
No, it doesn't fall under the current use, permitted uses. So we do have to go through zoning change to allow for these specific uses.
No. Are you saying that you don't think that this particular spot is conducive of industrial heavy usage?
Correct. So
because of the...
Right, and with the what the transformation and the economic growth plan described for this area is specific for training. The training component is very, it's complementary to what we're doing in the corridor and having the housing. In this site, because of its shape, too, would make it difficult for a modern manufacturer to probably develop on this site.
Thank you.
What are the conditions?
There are some conditions from Department of Public Works. They are requesting some additional information from the applicant, and they want to conduct a traffic impact study just to ensure that there won't be any negative impacts to traffic.
That's the only one?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We have Kenneth Dragath is opposed and would like to speak.
Good afternoon. I happen to own the building directly across the street from the proposed building site, and I can tell you that the reason for my opposition is not because it's a school. In fact, I have to tell you that I'm also involved in the STEM schools out in Waukesha. I'm an advocate, and I think that it is a worthwhile endeavor. However, the location is not correct for that school. Currently, as we try to maneuver our trucks in and out of our facility, we encounter traffic on 31st Street right now, which makes it literally impossible for us to get our heavy loads in and out. Now, we are in medium to heavy machining, so we have quite a bit as far as equipment being moved in and out. We have heavy trucks that are loaded that are extremely dangerous, and we currently have problems with the residences in the vicinity right now. And I'll give you an example. Last summer, we attempted to facilitate the charter school on the corner of 31st and Capitol. So we sold them property that we had owned on Capitol Drive for parking facilities. Since that point in time, we've had a number of issues. We've been excluded from the decision-making as far as traffic patterns. And therefore, when we try and get trucks in and out of our facility, we're finding that we have buses twice a day that are completely blocking our access to our loading docks that we access in the alley.
Excuse me, you said 31st and Capitol? Is there another charter school here someplace?
The Hope School?
Hope.
Right on the corner.
Which one would that be?
I don't think it's a charter
immediately
school.
Immediately to the east, on the northeast corner of 31st.
Hope School?
Is it a charter school? Mm-hmm. Is it a charter school?
They have the white roof.
Right.
Yeah, the white.
Okay.
Where's your building again? I'm sorry, in comparison to this picture.
I'm sorry?
Where's your location?
My building is directly to the north. Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Maybe
This would be the building that I own right here.
Okay, where's the charter school?
Charter school is right here.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now you're talking about putting another one right across the street? Okay.
So ultimately, the problem that we have right now, and again, being a believer in choice and charter schools, we attempted to facilitate, in fact, there was an empty building, and we wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to move forward with their plans to develop the Hope School. The problem that we have right now is that on a regular basis, on a daily basis, twice a day, we are prohibited, we're unable to get our vehicles, our large trucks, in and out of our loading docks that are located facing south, which would be in the alleyway. As a result of that, we encounter large increases in our trucking fees because the trucks are forced to wait there. We don't dare bring the trucks in an attempt to load or unload the trucks because there are little kids running around in the alleyway. And the big problem that we have here is the fact that we were completely excluded from any of the decision making. Now, I've made a number of contacts with Alderman Hamilton's office. They've returned zero phone calls. I've actually met Alderman Hamilton on a couple of occasions. I've brought this up to him. I've talked to the folks over at the Hope School, and I've attempted to get this problem resolved, but we still are nowhere with that. So having said that, I want to look at 31st Street. As we're backing trucks in and out on 31st Street, and I'm going to highlight for you the loading dock that we have. There's a loading dock right here. And what ends up happening is we're trying to back trucks into those loading docks. The people that are traveling on 31st Street refuse to stop for any vehicles that are backing. In fact, I can tell you that on a number of occasions, we've come nearly to blows in the street where people didn't like the fact that we were blocking the street as we were backing trucks in. We've had vehicles that attempt to beat the trucks backing in where they drive up over the curbs, almost hitting pedestrians in the process. I've been spit at, I've been called nasty names, and this is something that we have to put up with on a regular basis. And I have to tell you that considering that we're looking at adding more residential across the street does not help our position out at all.
How many employees do you have?
The machine shop that I operate on there are three buildings there. The building on the west end is occupied by approximately 8 people. The building in the center is occupied by approximately 6, and we have 6 in the east building.
How long have you been in business there?
I bought that building back in 2003.
Is this the only location for your business?
I do have a small facility on the south side on 37th and Burnham, but we bought this building in an attempt to move forward with the hopes of the involvement of the city of Milwaukee in bringing manufacturing back into the area. We've had lackluster response, and based upon the condition of the economy and the fact that we are in the manufacturing sector, unfortunately, we're not the first people that are looked at when it comes to funding. So the big issue that I have, again, with the STEM school is not the concept. I agree with it. I'm an advocate. My suggestion is move it across Capitol south to the Century City property. This way it's not going to have a negative impact on our ability to conduct commerce. We already have issues that we're attempting to resolve, if I can only get an alderman to return a phone call. And I certainly don't need any more headaches, because that's the direction that we're going in.
Can I ask a question? Vanessa, just thinking, is this something that would be worked out with DPW and this gentleman's business? Are they talking about these?
They should. Mike Lawhern is here from Public Works, and he can probably address some of these comments in your question to confirm that this would be taken into account.
I mean, Yeah, let me see.
In the meanwhile, while you're standing up, I think, if I might just say something, is that the master plan of this area is not to stifle business. You know, it's to promote, you know, economic development of business. And if this is going to happen once, how many other times can this happen? You know, I think that's something that has to be seriously considered. I love the idea, and this is certainly a quandary in the fact that it's your support for the business and the idea, but at the same time, this is an area that most definitely needs exposure and needs to see small business, medium-sized business succeed. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mike Lauher, and I'm the Department of Public Works Coordination Manager. As Vanessa indicated earlier, DPW does have some minor concerns with regarding the traffic from the proposal of the new school and the new apartment building. As far as the existing situation with this gentleman's business and the existing school, this is the first that I've been aware of it, so I would want that issue to be also addressed as part of any traffic impact assessment for the new proposal.
And it seems as if there should be some way to work out an agreement with the school and the school bus operators about the way they, where they let the kids off and pick them up.
There should be. I'm not sure what the relationship is with the existing school there with regard to the buses.
It seems as if these things could be worked out if everybody would sit down and put their heads together.
I would hope so. I'm not knowing the details of his problems with the existing school.
I'll tell you, I would agree with that, and I have attempted on many occasions to reach out and talk to folks and get this problem resolved. I mean, I can tell you that I have a tenant next door that has threatened to move out, the fellow in the middle, Velikan. He's an exporter. He exports across the globe. He manufactures high-end specialized motors. Just because whenever he wants to get in and out of his parking area, he can't do it because there's vehicles parked in his area in front of his vehicles where he can't gain access. We have buses that are in the way. And again, the issue that we have here, and I'm actually, when I'm listening to folks talk, I'm surprised because we haven't heard from anybody. In fact, I just found out about this on Friday afternoon, and I had to change a number of sales programs that I had going today in order to make it to this meeting. We had no idea that this was happening. We had no idea that anything like this was being contemplated. Nobody's contacted us to see if this was going to have a negative impact on the business. So whenever we reach out, whether it be to Milwaukee Police Department, to the Alderman's office, to the school, we don't have anybody returning phone calls. So I can't force people to come to the table, and I don't think that's my responsibility.
Well, it seems to me that after, you know, your presentation, having Mike here from DPW, that now possibly you've met and other conversations can take place. The Alderman's here, and he would like to speak last, and it would be your turn now.
I have a quick question for DPW. In your assessment of the traffic the traffic in that area, would take in consideration the movement of trucks, not only just cars, and the unloading and loading of trucks and any type of commercial type of traffic?
We have not made a traffic assessment there. We were asking the developer, the proposer of this new development, to prepare a traffic impact analysis that would demonstrate that the traffic is not negatively impacted by the new proposal.
Okay, thank you.
And have you gotten that?
No. We have. Today was the first day that I just got the report back from traffic engineering late last week. I presented it to Vanessa, so that we have not had that discussion yet.
So, and you said you just got a traffic assessment?
I got the report back from the traffic engineering department requesting a traffic impact analysis.
Okay. So it's not complete.
Right. So let me ask another question. When the Hope School went in, did you guys do a traffic assessment?
I am not aware that we did or didn't. I'm not aware if it required a zoning change or if what ability we had at that time.
So is that something that we could request for some type of traffic assessment?
Well, the traffic analysis with regard to this school will have to consider the existing traffic at the Hope School. Because, I mean, that's there. It's not going away.
It just seems as if, again, if DPW could sit down with the developer and the architect for the current proposal, and this gentleman whose business is nearby, and the people from the school, that there should be a way to iron out these problems. You know, I mean, it sounds like sort of a pileup of existing problems and then future problems.
I mean, this is the first I heard of the problem between the existing school and this gentleman's business, so that was not, obviously hasn't been considered up till now.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And Alderman Hamilton.
Thank you, Commissioners. All right. I guess there's a number of different ways to kind of approach this, so I'll start at the 3,000 foot view, and I think Kian kind of gave a good overview, but I want to talk about some of the realities of that, because we really are talking about some major changes in this area, and so with those major changes, it's going to come with some uncomfort. It's going to be some different uses, and it's going to impact people differently. This project in particular is an important step in looking at what the goals are for this entire 30th Street Industrial Corridor. When we were talking about Century City 2 and the regular Century City, there were a number of areas that were the focus. And a tremendous amount of city investment that went into remediating that Century City 1 site. And in order to continue this momentum, you know, this is Commissioner Stokes talked about Transform Milwaukee and the lack of progress that he's seen with the investment of that into the city. Most of us are having that same issue. And despite the fact that we haven't seen the push the way that we've wanted to, we recognize that we have to continue pushing forward with the plans that the city has already moved with. Just because they have a dual plan, I think a lot of the resources that they've identified for these types of developments are actually resources that kind of existed, and they just kind of drew a circle around them and said that we'll call this Transform Milwaukee, but they just kind of, they've existed before. What we want to be able to do is not stymie the momentum that a lot of city investment has started to push forward with transforming this site. It's going to come with some challenges, though. We looked at the model for Menominee Valley. This is going to present a lot more challenging issues because we have existing businesses and we have a concentration of residential areas in the area. So it's going to come with some challenges. You mentioned the other Hope School. I don't believe that there were any zoning changes that were necessary for that school to go in there. So many of the studies that would have been conducted through that process were not conducted during that time period. So now it's there. The model of having a training center in this location, with the fact that we're trying to have an impact on economic development and jobless unemployment rates in this surrounding area, is an extremely important part of the overall plan for the area, not just with the industry, but with the surrounding neighborhoods and the housing surrounding the neighborhood. And I think that's the role that WIDA is supposed to play in trying to develop the surrounding housing. And being able to provide those opportunities for neighbors that live in that area is going to be extremely important for them to be able to have the opportunity to get the skills that's necessary to work on the jobs that would be coming into this area. As far as the impact on some of the surrounding businesses, these plans are not actually new. They've been discussed at the 30th Street Industrial Corridor meetings and the business people who are there. The business owner here, Ken, has participated in those meetings. We've had a number of conversations about the problems at his location in the past, which include public safety issues as well as stormwater issues. And once again, this project is part of a larger initiative to try to address stormwater management in this area, so that businesses and homes in that area are having those issues addressed with this development, and by doing so, creating jobs too for people that live over there in that area. And trying to address some of his issues, though, just so that the committee is aware, folks have had issues dealing with him personally. And so it's not as if we won't address his issues. It's not as if they will not be considered, but they will most definitely be a part of trying to remediate whatever problems that exist with any new development that's coming into an area. We do not want to have a negative effect on the businesses that already exist. But many of his problems are far larger than traffic. And so I think some of the issues that we're going to, with the concentration of both residents and a school coming into the area, yeah, we're going to have to be able to address the concentration of new traffic that's coming in the area. And I think that's what some of the conversations have been with DPW and why they're continuing to look at traffic patterns. We've had some conversations about the parking lot and that ability to take on some of that traffic and be a part of the solution. But the goal is not to create new problems in this area. And I think some of the issues that's been addressed are kind of small ones that we can address if they're given to us in the proper form and given the proper authorities the right time to address them. So, but I'm ready to take any questions too.
So, Alderman, if I understand you correctly, then you're saying that that you're open to suggestions about the development, and that the traffic study will give this gentleman some peace relative to, I mean, because like I said, you don't want to chase businesses away. You want to try to see if there's a coalition, as well as if you got a training center, there may be some things that, so I think that, if I understand you correctly, say you're open for discussion for those.
For those solutions to the problem, absolutely. Absolutely. Always have been.
Any other questions, commissioners?
Madam Chair, can I have a podium for a minute?
Sure.
I have to tell you.
Well, can I just say that, yes. I don't want this to become a personal, match here.
I understand.
Okay.
So if you characterization of the discussions that were had by claiming that other people have issues with me is uncalled for. That's not professional. That's completely uncalled for in this forum.
Just.
All right. We're going to move ahead here.
What did he do? Okay, let's move. Can we lay this over, or what is the process here? All this discussion needs to happen with the owners of the.
Well, it's conditional on this traffic impact, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. My understanding is that there's application deadlines for WIDA, for the low income housing tax credits, and that is what is pushing this on moving forward, but I can defer to Howard or Jason regarding your specific question, but that's my understanding that it's...
Can we get some assurance that these discussions are had and really think about this? Because number one, this whole area is about creating jobs and creating, space for, heavy manufacturing, light manufacturing, and jobs. And that's what's the nice thing about this with the training center there.
Exactly.
But, it's a, like you say, it's a, triangular piece that's difficult to use heavy manufacturing, but at the same time, we don't want it to negatively impact current businesses unless they have a plan to move this business somewhere else on the lot.
Right. And so by adding this condition, and if it's not addressed, we can't proceed before the Common Council committee. If they don't address Department of Public Works concerns adequately, okay, then we can't move forward.
Okay. Now, let me understand. You're just not, now, the gentleman from the Department of Public Works said he asked the developer to give him an impact study. We asked him that the city perform the study. I mean, you can't, I mean, how is that supposed to work? If I'm fully developed, so I want to give you a traffic study, they say, everything is cool, it's dead. I mean, that doesn't...
Mike, could you address that question?
City Department of Public Works and Traffic Engineering Department do not have the resources to undertake our own traffic impact study for a private development.
Trap, 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 trap,
Okay.